in a war that started well before 2019. Secrets have been buried deep beyond the pale. We're here to reveal the truth. It's time for Vaccine War Headlines.
This is a war on religion. This is a war on the children. They give you the cure with the sickness. This is a war on tradition. This is a war on religion. This is a war on the children. They give you the cure with the sickness. This is a war. This is a war.
It is a war, and we are still reporting on these numbers. So VAERS COVID vaccine adverse event reports are now posted through March 29th.
Yeah, and we also want to give a shout out and thank you to Jimmy Levy and Hi-Rez on the music there. They are independent artists and have given permission to podcasters like us to play that portion of that song for this purpose. As you'll notice, they have a video even specifically created for that. So let's get started on these numbers. It's unbelievable. Over 1.6 million reports through the 29th of March.
Yeah.
Which includes that most important number at the top. And then I think about the seventh one down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah. You take those deaths and those miscarriages together, and you're talking about more than the population of most cities in America.
Right. 37,382 deaths and 5,127 miscarriages. 215,734 hospitalizations, and 243,117 doctor office visits. And then another 154,447 urgent care visits. 10,786 anaphylaxis cases, and 17,750 Bell's palsy cases. And we are just keeping track of these numbers so that we have the records, because VAERS just updates through current numbers. So we can see through our reports how it's changed and grown.
That's a really good point. We have done this for historical purposes at the expense of being kicked off of most of the censored platforms, the censorship platforms. We can't be on YouTube, of course. And we'll get hollered at by Facebook for mentioning the fact that vaccines are dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if this were to go out on YouTube, it'd be an instant strike for saying that. So, on you. But anyway, go ahead and continue with the truth here.
Okay. So, I'm just going to let you go ahead and read those other numbers.
Let's read them in. I want to read them in because we want to have them on tape. Where did you cut off?
Bell's palsy is the last one.
All right. And we mentioned the miscarriages already, over 5,000 of those. This one is disturbing. 21,616 heart attacks have been reported due to the COVID shot. The side effect. Side effect.
Yeah, 28,299 myocarditis and pericarditis cases. They are now actually advertising to parents for children's cases. And that is just unbelievable.
They're advertising the fact that they messed up, or that
no, they're, that they want that them to they take have more new technology, and we can take care of your child, and
yeah, they're
we
have forcing
a whole
it on the younger,
blah blah blah. Right,
they're forcing it on the younger and younger and younger generation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course they always have. We know that our kids got something like 16 shots before they were one or two.
Yeah,
so, I mean it's, and they put these all together like cocktails. We've talked about this forever. And it seems like from since the 60s to me, like, because we've been watching the videos from that far back.
Right.
From the iron lung all the way through to the polio garbage that happened in both 1916 and then 1958. Did you know that polio went away in the 1918s? It just went away because people started washing their hands.
Yep.
And then and there wasn't a cure, supposedly a cure, or there wasn't a vaccine for it until the 50s. And almost early 60s, and then it went away. Well, why did it go away in 1916 to 1918? Like I said, they washed their hands. You don't need a vaccine to have hygiene standards. Good hygiene standards, common sense, and cleanliness will get you a long way.
Right.
There's also another 70,361 cases of permanently disabled individuals. Permanently disabled. I think if you look on our original Rumble videos and BitChute videos. I think our very first, I called this patient number one. I think that's the name of my video. Uh-huh. It was a lady that was having convulsions and she was permanently disabled. And it was one of the very first reports we saw in early 2020 of somebody already
having issues.
Or 2021, somebody already having issues with a shot. Another 9,176 thrombocytopenia or low platelet counts. There's so much blood disease going on with this thing. We're talking about low platelet counts. We're talking about blood clots. We're talking about strings, massive strings of clotting all the way through people's veins. And these are, of course, from autopsies because you can't live like that. You can't have strings of clots running through your body. They don't turn corners well. They just, it doesn't happen. You die.
Yeah.
They have murdered people by forcing them to take the shot. And George Clooney, you're an ass. You're an ass. I'm sorry. This, we're going to have to put a label on this one. But George Clooney is, I mean, this is old news. Mm-hmm. But some of these celebrities and some of these idiot politicians who are pushing the shot, and Fauci, the retired idiot, right now, the one who is forcing people to take this shot, trying to say that, and Bill Gates, what a, oh, I just could go on and on.
Right.
All
right,
so we'll actually get back to the list here. Andy's getting our Dr. McCullough video ready, and I'll get back on track with our numbers. And of course, you know, the CDC doesn't want you to hear this, but I'm going to continue with our numbers here. That was another 39,742 cases of life-threatening instances. Like, what are those? 40,000 people whose life was in danger. Mm-hmm. Another 46,807 severe allergic reactions could result in death as well. And another 16,096 cases of shingles. And this is absolutely ridiculous. I better just let you go ahead and play this video because I am done with the numbers now.
I know.
And that's it for our historical record for today, April 20th, for VAERS, last numbers, March 29th.
Correct. And here's the clip you were talking about. CDC doesn't want you to hear this conversation.
Like, I don't know, is your average Amish teenager happier than your average conventional American teenager on Instagram? And of course the answer is, oh yeah.
Well, they certainly have less instances of autism, which is really fascinating. It's very, very
fascinating. The Amish have less autism?
Yeah, there's almost none.
Well, I'm not surprised.
It's extremely
rare.
Why
do we think that is?
Well, I wonder. I really do.
I can think of a couple. Yeah. That's funny. I don't want to go Bobby Kennedy.
Well, that's
anyone.
The problem.
Right.
If you go Bobby Kennedy, they'll come for you.
But the question is why? Look, and I don't know the answer, but
how is that not in the debate? How is that not in the conversation?
Well, it's not only not in the conversation, you're punished for adding it to the conversation.
Yes.
And so, like,
we are dancing around anti-vax conspiracy theories
right
now.
But why be on the defensive? It's like, if you purport to represent science and you're mad about a question,
and you're ignoring data.
Yeah, but even in the absence of data,
right?
Science is a process.
Yes,
it's not a result. It's a way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And at the core of science is asking questions, including unlikely questions.
Right.
That's what science is.
Right.
And if you don't allow that, then you know you may be doing something, but what you're not doing is science. We can say that conclusively.
Right.
So, for people to wrap themselves in the mantle of science and attack you for asking a question. You know, they're frauds.
He is so right. Yes. Science is a question. You question and you question and you test and you test and you question and you test and you do it again and again and again. You got to prove it. And they are not following the science. The science follows the questions. Come on, people. Dr. McCullough gives a masterclass on how to debate COVID vaccine safety with the Occupy Democrats Network. Now, this one is quite interesting. So let's listen in here.
I want to talk about vaccines with you. Would you agree with me that the vaccines for COVID have done far more good for people in this country than not good? There are so many people still that say COVID, the vaccines have killed millions of people, that all these professional athletes are dying of myocarditis when It's just not true. So would you agree with me that the vaccines have done far more good for people than bad?
Well, what evidence do you have for that?
What evidence do you have that all these people are dying of the vaccines?
Well, let's just take let's take safety first, because we always discuss safety before efficacy. Would you agree with that?
Sure.
Yeah, right. So it doesn't matter how good a product is, it has to be safe. Would you agree with that?
I don't think there's any vaccination that's 100% foolproof safe. You know that.
Okay, but it would have to have acceptable safety. Would you agree with that?
It depends what your definition of acceptable safety is. We were in a global pandemic where at one point we were losing 5,000 Americans per day. So obviously these were extenuating circumstances, mm-hmm. but go ahead. Mm-hmm.
But what would be your definition of acceptable safety?
While I'm not a doctor and you are, I would say in my personal opinion, looking back on half the world being vaccinated, in fact, more than half the world, as you know, at this point, there is no direct evidence that these vaccinations are, people are dropping dead left and right. And as you know, specifically on right-wing media and right-wing talk shows, they claim that all these professional athletes are dying of myocarditis because of the vaccines when they don't even know if these people were vaccinated. They don't know their medical history. And it's frustrating for me, doctor, because I believe the vaccine saved my life. I believe it saved my parents' life. And in so many studies out there, you know, listen, you could, and as you know this, you can get COVID if you're vaccinated. It didn't give you a lesser chance of getting infected or giving it to somebody else. However, you are in so many studies that I've seen, and you can tell me if you disagree, far less likely to get the effects of having to go into the ICU or possibly dying if you were vaccinated. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you're wrong. And here's the reason why. The prospective randomized double-blind placebo-controlled clinical trials of the vaccines never showed a reduction in severity. They never showed a reduction in hospitalization and death. And what's come out over time is the virus has mutated to become a much milder virus. So as the vaccines were rolling out, you know, we were being confronted with a less mild virus. The other thing, I mean, a less severe virus, more mild. The other thing that happened is we learned how to treat the illness. Mm-hmm. So we treated patients early and we avoided hospitalization and death. So the two major things that saved people's lives were having natural immunity from the first round of infection and then early treatment. What happened with the vaccines, remember, the vaccines came in late, you know, so we're already a year in the pandemic. We've been treating people for a year. Mm-hmm. The vaccines come in late. And in a recent paper by Norman Fenton from the UK, he's shown that there was tremendous misclassification bias. So when they declared that there was a epidemic of the unvaccinated, in fact, the hospitals weren't, you know, they had no idea who was vaccinated or not. They didn't have connection to the CDC vaccine records. They weren't going in the ICU and figuring out people on the ventilator who were vaccinated and who weren't. In countries that actually did have the vaccine status, like the UK, they found far more vaccinated in the hospital on ventilators and dying than the unvaccinated. And in a paper by Shretha and colleagues from the Cleveland Clinic, the lowest risk workers that they have in 51,000 workers are the unvaccinated. And with every single injection, one is more and more likely to get COVID-19. Now, the deaths that have been reported after the vaccine are unprecedented. Our safety system for vaccines records on average, half the country takes vaccines in the United States before COVID, records on average 150 deaths in a year on average. The COVID-19 vaccines roll out. And as we sit here today, our CDC has verified 18,655 Americans dying after the vaccine. 1,150 die on the same day they take the shot. Some die in the vaccine center. 1,200 die the next day. Now, that's underreported by a factor in FDA testimony of about 30. We're looking, as we sit here today, at 550,000 plus Americans have died after the vaccine.
So
pattern is seen worldwide. There are calls to pull these vaccines off the market. They're so grossly unsafe because people die quickly after taking them.
He got him, didn't he?
Oh, I was sitting there watching it, waiting for him to be able to respond, but you can't really respond to that.
Right.
Because he wasn't jamming anything down his throat. He was just telling the facts, and that's the way it is. This is what we've been trying to talk about for quite a few years. And I asked you how long ago was that debate? Do you remember? Or did you see a date on that one?
The post was from April 15th, but I'm not sure when Chief Nerd grabbed that actual video.
Because those numbers, when he first mentioned those death numbers, they were low, but then at the end he said they were higher than what we have. So
right, because they're taking into effect the underreporting numbers.
Yeah, and much underreporting. So see,
right,
we're giving you numbers that aren't even as high as they should be.
Right, and there was also on the Facts Matter program, a bombshell study finds 1 in 35 Moderna boosters recipients suffered vax-related heart damage.
Like my dad?
Like your dad.
According to a brand new peer-reviewed study, which came out of the country of Switzerland, a staggering 1 in 35 recipients of the Moderna booster shot experienced vaccine-associated heart injury. 1 in 35 people who took the shot experienced damage to the heart. Now, that is obviously a very shocking number. And so let's unpack the details of the study together, starting with the hypothesis that the researchers were trying to investigate. Going into the study, the researchers, quote, posited that the incidence of vaccine-associated heart injury was more prevalent than previously thought following mRNA booster vaccination because of a lack of symptoms or mild symptoms. And so essentially, their hypothesis going into the study was that after getting an mRNA booster shot, a lot more people were experiencing vaccine-related heart damage than previously thought. And the reason for this was because people's hearts were getting damaged in a way where either there were no symptoms on the surface or the symptoms were mild enough for people to ignore, meaning that the heart was actually injured, but the recipient of the booster shot was simply unaware. And so what these researchers did was that instead of just asking people how they felt after vaccination, they actually went in and they tested their blood. And in terms of what they were testing for, quote, the researchers defined heart injury as a sharp increase in high sensitivity cardiac troponin T on the third day after vaccination without evidence of an alternative cause. The levels of cardiac troponin had to hit the upper limit of normal, 8.9 nanograms per liter in women and 15.5 nanograms per liter in men. Now, the reason that these researchers decided to use what's known as a troponin test is because it is a very good indicator of whether or not there was damage to the heart. If a person has more of this protein called troponin T in the bloodstream, it means that recently they've experienced damage to the heart.
So, increased cancer mortality is being noticed in Japan after the third vaccine dose. No significant excess mortality was observed during the first year. However, some excess cancer mortalities are observed in 2021 after mass vaccination with the first and second vaccine doses. And significant mortalities were observed for all cancers and sometimes specific types of cancer, including ovarian, leukemia, prostate, lip, oral cancer, pancreatic cancer, and breast cancer after the mass vaccination with the third dose. In other words, turbo cancer literature is growing. New COVID-19 vaccine turbo cancer papers, 6, have been published in April alone, 26 total. The dam is breaking and it will take Pfizer and Moderna with it. Isn't that good news? People are seeing it. Doctors are finally noticing it. Pfizer and Moderna COVID-19 mRNA vaccines cause aggressive turbo cancers. For some of us, this is now well established, but for others, quote, turbo cancer doesn't exist in literature. I couldn't find any papers. That's nonsense. This doctor encountered daily from the heavily propagandized and brainwashed, even many MDs and PhDs who took the experimental jabs in a Walmart parking lot for Krispy Kreme donuts or free fries. Don't look now, but 6 turbo cancer papers have come out of the past 2 weeks, making the total 26, give or take. The full post from Dr. William Mackis is right here, and it's quite a long post. So you can go to our website, diggingdeeper.net, and go to the Vaccine War Headlines, Volume 92. You can click on that and you can read the whole thing. Just to close that one out, despite the best efforts of Big Pharma and their corrupt allies, politics, media, and medical associations, and apparently Wikipedia even, the truth about mRNA-induced turbo cancer cannot be suppressed or hidden. It is coming out, and there's no turning back. Sorry. He also says that vitamin D and cancer, a quick review, he wrote a paper on, okay? With the recent explosion of COVID-19 mRNA vaccine-induced turbo cancers in young people, there is an intense interest in cancer prevention and cancer treatment. So what does he say is the best course of action? Vitamin D. Vitamin D has a tremendous impact on the COVID-19 pandemic. It was attacked by public health officials who were more interested in driving up COVID-19 deaths than preventing them. What about vitamin D and cancer? There are four recent papers regarding it. The impact of vitamin D on cancer, the efficacy of vitamin D supplementation on cancer mortality, interplay of vitamin D and SIRT1 in tissue, and vitamin D in cancer prevention. Those are all linked to those specific articles. If you are of the mind to go read the NIH stuff, go ahead and go to that article and click on those. But these studies support the fact that vitamin D is essential to our health. You better stay indoors. Don't go to the beach. You gotta stay inside or you're gonna spread it. There was a reason they were saying that. Just saying. Vitamin D deficiency has been linked to the development and progression of a number of cancer types. Vitamin D continues to show positive anti-cancer effects against many types. Dr. Mackus says, I am often asked by COVID-19 vaccinated individuals how to either prevent cancer from developing or, once diagnosed, how to best treat a turbo cancer. Given that oncologists have no idea how to deal with this new vaccine-induced phenomenon, ivermectin and menbenazole have emerged as leading options for an alternative treatment approach to mRNA-induced turbo cancers. However, a comprehensive treatment plan will involve several other elements, one of them being vitamin D. Supplementing vitamin D is easy and cheap, and it seems Big Pharma doesn't really want vitamin D to get any traction in cancer prevention and cancer treatment. I wonder why. Do you think maybe it's the money, people? I like this little cartoon. It says, a patient cured is a customer lost. And a patient created is a customer gained, of course, right? Then we have this thread from Sophia Dahl. The WHO hopes to enact pandemic treaty in May. Dr. David Martin, in a recent interview by Epoch Times, warned that the criminally unaccountable organization, the WHO, could have all rights of people handed over to them. Let's listen in.
To the viewers who might not be aware of it, what this WHO international treaty that's currently being ironed out over at the UN, what is it all about?
Well, the key points are that with the support of the financial institutions, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Wellcome Trust, and the Gates Foundation, we're essentially ceding the ability to suspend all civil liberties and all of the rights associated with what we would call the Bill of Rights here in the United States, International Declaration of Human Rights. All of those can be suspended by a capricious determination that there's a public health emergency. And the minute that happens, there are no rights. In a nutshell, that's what the treaty is. And like the PREP Act was after the anthrax outbreak of 2001, which the U.S. perpetrated on the U.S. so that we could get to the PREP Act of 2005, the exact same playbook is how we got COVID to get us to this moment, which is to say, terrorize the world, convince them that we need some giant protector state that actually has some sort of supranational ability, and then suspend civil liberties as long as they need to be suspended. And in this particular case, at the whim of funding agencies who have no criminal accountability. So in a nutshell, If you feel good about that, feel good about May.
Well, let me ask you this. The treaty, the WHO treaty, my understanding is that it will standardize a lot of what took place during.
So the world hopes to enact pandemic treaty by May 2024, was the article he was talking about. That was in NPR. If you are fluent in the language of media, it's translated, NWO is going to fake it until we make it, lest we lose credibility in the Great Reset. Even those countries who see COVID as a failure, whether knowingly or unknowingly, are pushing the idea of presumption of good intentions by those who must be considered at minimum the most inept, monumental failures in modern history, if not altogether corrupt and evil. Even The Lancet posted an article about the coming May decision using doublespeak about saving lives through WHO, when everyone knows that the actions guided by the WHO did nothing. They didn't save any lives. The Pandemic Treaty, Shameful and Unjust, is the title of that article. And they open it up by saying that the INB is going to be sitting for the last time on March 18th through the 29th. In the 2 years since it first met, hundreds of hours and unknown costs have been spent, but the political impetus has died. Convention is now a critical juncture. The final text for countries to ratify is due to be presented at the World Health Assembly in May. With only limited days of negotiation left and a long way to go to secure a meaningful agreement, it is now or never for a treaty that can make the world a safer place. I am saying vote no. Please don't do this. This loses all credibility for nations to have their own rights. We're going to lose our nation if we do this. So that's what I have for tonight. And we will continue to bring you more vaccine war headlines as we can gather them.
Thank you for listening to Vaccine War Headlines, a production of Digging Deeper. Theme music provided to Digging Deeper by Drucifer the Aberrant, Beyond the Pale.